lifts everyone out this morning. If you're following along this morning, we're in the book of Romans, chapter 6. We'll be looking at verse 23. This week I was driving down the road, and on the back of some church van they had this verse here. And just reading it and stopped at a stoplight, something stood out for me whenever I looked at this verse, where it was that really hadn't stood out for me before. And it's the idea of what are we working for in life. In Romans 6, verse 23, Paul wrote, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We could imagine someone standing up before in heaven and see that his sins were read aloud for all to hear. As each one is read out, he feels a little bit more weight upon his shoulders. He feels his legs getting weaker under the burden of all the words that are being spoken. But they're not just words. These words describe the actions of a life that rejected God and Christ. He chose this path, and just as we earn our wages by our actions, his actions earned him the wages of sin, and that is death. You know, one of the things that struck out in that one verse there is that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift is what we get from God. People ask the question, well, why does God condemn mankind? Why are people sent to hell as punishment? You know, three doctors arrived in heaven. St. Peter asked the first one, why you should be let into heaven? The doctor said, because I won the Nobel Peace Prize for my work. So, Peter let him into heaven. The second doctor was a little worried when it came his turn. He didn't create any kind of thing that won him a Nobel Peace Prize, but he said, I haven't won any prizes, but I've started free clinics to help those in need for free. So Peter tells him, well, you're worthy, you can come in. So the third doctor gets in front of Peter, and he says, well, I'm responsible for all those HMOs across the United States. In other words, we manage the care in there. We tell you you can only be there a day if you're having a baby, or 3 days for a hernia or a hysterectomy or something like that, and we limit the amount of time people can stay in the hospital. Well, Peter thought about it for a while, and he said, okay, but you can only stay here for 3 days. You know, eternity is not temporary. Your decisions today affect where you're going to spend eternity in life. Paul says to us that the wages of sin is death. He speaks of wages. Wages are something that we earn. No one is condemned that hadn't earned their place there. There's something you have coming. Justice demands that laborers get their wages. If you don't pay your workers, you can get in a whole lot of trouble. That's why the Bible warns employers to pay the wages of a hired man. In most states, the law demands that employees always be paid. When a company goes bankrupt, the right of the employee to be paid comes before the government's right to get taxes. And you don't find that often with government's rights are suspended. A creditor's right to seize assets or a shareholder's right to get his investment back. Those employees are to be paid their due first out of anything that's there available. Paul talks to us this morning about the wages of sin. I'm sure you get the point. In the same way, an employee has a right to his or her wages. So the sinner has a right to his or her wages for what they've done. In the same way as justice demands that an employee be paid, justice demands that a sinner be paid for his due. In the same way as it would be unjust and therefore wrong to defraud a laborer of his wages, so it would be unjust and wrong to allow a sinner to go unpaid. That's what justice is about, and that's what people don't understand today, because they don't believe in absolute justice anymore. They believe in giving this a break and that a break. Well, most people have a whole life in which they can had that break and changed their lives. The wages of sin is death. Just like an employee deserves his or her paycheck, so the sinner deserves death. That is the penalty for that. Now, this is nothing new. This was announced in the Garden of Eden. You remember when God said to Adam, when he placed him in the garden in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, you are free to eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. He announced way back then what disobedience got people. Just for disobeying that one rule, death entered into this world. Adam's sin brought death upon himself. He brought two kinds of death upon himself, with a physical death and a spiritual death. The spiritual death took place immediately. What did God do? God withdrew from man, because God cannot be in the company of sin. God cannot be with evil. God is pure and God is just. And then the second thing that happened was the physical death. That took a long time for Adam, more than most anyone else, except for one that we know about. But it took a long time for that to happen, but it did happen. The result of Adam's sin was a physical death. Physical death means that separation of our body from our spirit and soul. Remember the curse that God pronounced upon Adam in Genesis 3:19. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to death you will return. Adam lived 930 years from the Bible, and then he died. He died a physical death. His soul separated from his body much earlier. The wages of sin is death. Sometimes this phrase is used to explain what happens to notorious sinners. We think of Timothy McVeigh and other people who have murdered a lot of people. And, you know, do we say that they deserve death? That the wages of their sin is death? But, you know, you can go through the obituary column of a newspaper, and behind each name you can write, the wages of sin is death. That each one of these people that has gone on before, the wages of sin is death. Now, that's not to say that they weren't in the right relationship with the Lord, but that we all leave this earth and die because of sin. If Adam and Eve had not sinned, and their generations had not sinned or disobeyed God, death would have not entered. But because of that, all people pass away. Adam also died, that spiritual death that we spoke about before. The separation of man from God. They hid from God in Genesis 3:8. Man was scared of God. He could not be in his presence. And God cast him from the garden. He drove him from his presence. And that was our separation. And ever since Genesis 3:15, God worked to make man reconciled to him. God sought to save man from his own self. You know, God is life, and to be away from God is to be away from life. To be away from God means to be in the presence of death. To be out of the light means to be out of the, to be in darkness. You can't be out of God's light and be in some other light. You can't be in the shadow. You're either in the light or you're out of the light. And to be eternally away from God means to be in eternal death. In fact, that is what hell is like. Separating from himself is God's eternal punishment upon which those who are unrepentant sinners take part in. Depart from me, you who are cursed, he says, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. Hell means to be eternally separated from the presence of God. You know, many people object to this kind of teaching. They think it's unfair and unjust that people will end up in hell, that they will be punished. Yet so many have so much time in which to be able to make those choices. Most everyone, at least in America, has a Bible sitting on a shelf someplace. Maybe it's under inch thick dust in some households, But there's generally a Bible in everyone's house. There's a Bible in every hotel room you go into. You could buy a Bible. People will give you a Bible if you want one. God's Word is inescapable, and God's Word is there for anyone who will take the time to open up that book and take a look at it. A man once said to a minister one day, "I do not like your Savior," he said. "Why?" said the minister. "Because he sends men to hell." The minister replied back to him, "I have never heard of him sending anyone there. Men send themselves there." How true. We send ourselves to hell if we choose. It is what we'll earn if we don't repent, if we don't change. It is what they deserve. Jesus is never at fault because of any soul who goes there. No soul confronting Jesus in that great and awful judgment day can say, "I am lost through your fault. God caused this to happen, or you caused this to happen, Jesus." They can't say that. None can ever say to him, "You did it to me." But the wages of sin, in other words, the toil of our hands, the work of our heart and our minds, is just that. We earn a wage, and we are going to be paid a wage if we choose that. So, here's a bit of a riddle. What do ministers, teachers, hermits, presidents, prisoners, common folk all have in common? The answer is sin. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, as Paul said. Many people don't see this, and many people don't want to believe this. If you were to do a survey of what people thought they were good, you know, they might say they're a sinner, but they're a good sinner. You know, they don't sin too bad. Or they're not a bad sinner, anything like that. They look at different ways of looking at things, and they cast things in gray shades, that they're not that bad. But a sin is a sin is a sin. Just as in Shakespeare they said, the rose by any other name is still but a rose. A sin by any other name is still just that, a sin. It is what it is. Your radio station decided to do a poll. They asked listeners to call in who have committed adultery. No person called in. Then, they did the next day, they asked any of their listeners out there who had an affair. The phone lines were swamped with people admitting to their affair. You see, you can say a lie is a misstatement. You can say a lie is a some misstep or something that someone did in error, anything like that. But a wrong statement is still a wrong statement. A lie is still a lie. And a sin is still a sin. It's interesting to see that no one there had broken the seventh commandment, but all sorts of people had extramarital affairs. So, it all depends how you look at it, some people. But when it comes to God, it's all the same to Him. The sin is real, and the punishment, or the wage of it, is real. None of us are good sinners. All of us deserve the wages of sin. But, in that second part of verse 23, we hear about that gift to God. And I just love the contrast between the wages of sin, what you earn by your own hand, and the gift of God, that which we could not earn. This verse here is almost the gospel in a nutshell. It almost tells us in one sentence what the gospel is about. That we're sinners and we're going to get those wages. But there's a gift of God that's going to save us. Not by our own hands, not by our own sweat of the brow, but a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the last half of that verse says, the gift of God is eternal life. We earn death, we deserve death, we bring death, both physical and spiritual, upon ourselves, but eternal life is a gift. It's a gift of God. This means it's unearned, it's undeserved, it's unmerited. We don't do anything to get it. We do nothing to deserve it. We don't do anything to merit it. It is a gift, a present, a favor. Now we do have to accept it as the Bible says. We do have to repent. We do have to confess. We do have to become baptized. We do have to live that life that Jesus wants us to. But that in itself is not work. And that's the beauty of what Romans 6:23 is telling us here. Is that all the things we do to accept Christ, to enter into that kingdom, it's not deserving. Repentance alone is not going to take away your sin. Confession is not going to take away those sins. Baptism alone is not going to take away those sins. Living that life that Christ wants us to have is not going to take away those sins. Now you're saying, well, what do we do it for? We do it because we've been commanded to. But what takes away our sins, now what we learned about in class this morning, in the 15th chapter of Corinthians, is that Christ died for us, and that He's resurrected for us. And if He's resurrected, we're resurrected. There's nothing we can do in life to save ourselves, but there's something we can do to have Jesus save us. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. Jesus suffered separation from God for us on this earth. Remember those three awful hours of darkness. Remember the cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus suffered the separation so we wouldn't have to. The gift of God is eternal life. Even as we could speak of two kinds of death, so we can speak of two kinds of life, our physical life and our spiritual life. Because of Jesus, we who are spiritually dead are made spiritually alive. Because of Jesus, we no longer are cut off from the presence of God. Because of Jesus, like Adam, we can talk to God and enjoy His presence. We can speak to Him through Christ each and every day, walk and talk with Him. Have Him hear our burden and have Him carry our burden. And we can let Him talk to us through His Word. Because of Jesus, we can look forward to a time when we will dwell with God. When He and we will live all together. Because of Jesus, we not only have spiritual life, but after this life, to be resurrected immortal in that unperishable life, to live with Him forever. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. A one-sentence gospel message. Every time we think about sinning and we want to repeat ourselves in sinning, think of that. The wages of sin is death. Think about what we're doing. But don't leave it there. Also think about that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Every day you're going to think about that wages of sin is death, because we all sin. We all fall short. And from the break of dawn when we get up to the end of the day when we lay our heads down on our pillow and sleep, we'll be able to say the wages of sin is death over and over and over again in that day. But I also want you to think about that free gift. And when you think about that free gift that comes from Christ, that we didn't earn, that we don't merit, and all we do has to do is follow His commands in order to come under that blood that saves us. What a wonderful thing. That should help lift our lives each and every day. That should help embolden us. That should help us to want to have a closer relationship with God. To want to look at His Word and learn from His Word and learn from Him. And then to pray for Him, bringing our burdens to Him, bringing our joys, bringing everything that bothers us to Him and laying them on Him. Because He not only saves us from ourselves, but He saves us from our burdens. He'll take that yoke away from us. as we learned last week, his yoke is easy. His burdens are light. Not the burdens of the sinners. The sinners have a big paycheck coming. And they're not going to like it. And they're going to regret that they never listened to God. They're going to regret that they never looked in the Bible and saw what God wanted them to do. Just like in the days of Noah, when they regretted as the waters were rising, they'll regret in that time that they didn't accept that free gift from Christ, that they didn't reject those wages of sin. There comes a time when it'll be eternally too late for us to make any choice. The choices we make now are the choices we make for eternity. What are you working for today? Are you working and earning the wages of sin? Or have you quit working for sin and working for Christ because of His free gift? I don't know what your condition is this morning and what your needs may be, but if you have need of the church, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?